With apologies to my next guest who's standing by to talk to us, it is time to speak about dating, and we're joined as always by Fergal Harrington from Intro Matchmaking in Dublin. Welcome, Fergal.
Hello there, thank you very much.
Now, I know that you're always very busy in January, but you've an interesting topic for us this month, and you're going to talk to us a little bit about why people are single. And this is some conclusions that you and your colleagues in Intro have come to, that you can spot pretty much straight away after an interview why a person is single. Can you elaborate on that for us?
I can indeed. Well, you see, it's habits, it's traits, it's comments, it's just things people will say in passing, and you think, oh God, okay, red flag, alarm bell, and this is quite alarming, and this is definitely one of the contributors as to why you're remaining single. And you know, back to your tipping point there. I'll never forget one of the feedback calls back in the day when the lady was horrified giving her feedback on the date that she had. She thought it went okay, but then sure, they're leaving the restaurant, and she left a tip down. It was a small, modest tip, I think €10 or something like that. Probably not even enough as what it should have been. And sure, unbeknownst to him, he didn't realize that she could see him as he grabbed the tip on the way up at the restaurant. And of course, she's horrified that he would have done such a thing. And she tells us this the next day then. So tightness is a huge issue. A huge issue. And a lot of the time now with 2022 and equality and all the rest, a lot of the time guys will say, I'm not going to insult or offend you, Mary, by offering to pay for this, because I know, sure, it's all 50-50 nowadays, when really he just doesn't want to pay the bill in the first place, but he's using equality as the reason for it. So that can be one of the big ones. But there's the main thing that the girls come across all the time is the inability to compromise. They're not able to see the bigger picture. It's only ever through their own eyes. People will say, well, I want this because I had a bad breakup there, and therefore I don't have time to, you know, be sifting through all these kind of things. I need the next person that I meet to tick all of the boxes. I need them to be living where I want them to live. I need them to be the height I want them to be, and I'm not going to deviate from this. There's a huge sort of reluctance to, you know, compromise or be flexible in any way, shape or form based on a past experience. And what a lot of people will do is they'll say stuff like, you know, maybe I went out with a separated person in the past and it was a nightmare because the ex came back into that relationship, and they're always around and they ruined everything. And now, for instance, I'm never going to meet anyone who's separated or divorced because they'll ruin it. It'll just be like the last one. So people who often use one previous experience and then let it tarnish their entire future. People do this all the time in terms of careers, that they're looking at partners to settle down with. Oh, my God, I wouldn't date a teacher. Should they all talk to me like I'm a child? Or I wouldn't date a guard. Should they be abusive of power? Or I wouldn't date an accountant because they're boring. Sweeping generalizations are made all the time. We had a guy yesterday who said no to a woman. He's 6'2" and she's 5'4". And he said, no, she's not tall enough for me.
And you're serious?
Yeah, and just ridiculous things like that. And like, oh, you know, no one's ever good enough, good looking enough for me. Online, like, they ring me and they say every day, all day, oh, sure, I'm on Tinder and Bumble and POF and Hinge. Sure, no one's ever good looking enough for me. I work out all the time. I go to the gym. I do Pilates and yoga, and I eat lots of fish, and my omega levels are very high. My skin and my complexion is very youthful looking. But sure, you look at them and they look ancient for their age. And so when they say these real disparaging things about other people off the bat, you're thinking, oh my God, you're fairly past remarkable, you're fairly judgmental. You get a judgmental tone from a person who is single that is really cutting a lot of the time. And they will absolutely annihilate other people for no real good reason. And a lot of the time it can be through insecurities, but it's camouflaged as overconfidence. Like I had a person on the phone there tell me how amazingly good looking they are because they used to model, and now the agency are looking for her to model again, and sure, she doesn't really feel that looks should be important, but her incredibly, you know, her incredible good looks have been basically a negative for her, because everyone just views her as being this gorgeous model when really she's loads more than that. I don't know if you spoke to that person, you think, whoa, is this confidence? Is this, what is this? So when you talk to someone and they speak so highly of themselves that you almost have to ask the question, I wonder, are they joking or are they actually being serious here?
So when you and your colleagues, Fergal, sit down with somebody to interview them you know, ahead of setting them up on various dates, you're picking up these vibes. Is that what you're saying? Is that how you figure it all out? And you say to yourselves afterwards, ah, that's why they're not having any success with the opposite.
Yeah, well, you pick it up on the phone. When we speak to people initially on the phone, and they'll say things, and they'll complain a lot about the previous exes. They'll say awful things about the ex. It'll never be, you know, that relationship, that my marriage broke up because, you know, there was two of us in it. And I suppose we could have both worked on things. We could have both addressed what we were doing. It's usually with the people who are, you can spot them in my life, it's usually, well, he was abusive, or he was aggressive, or she was this, or she was a big drinker, or she was depressed, or whatever. It's always them. It's always someone else's fault. There's a blame game, and there's often then a victim mentality. So I had to go through that. I had to put myself through that. I looked after my elderly mother who had dementia. I looked after my young kids until they were 19 or 20, and then they went off to college, and I'd been on my own. There's a lot of the time there can be a victim mentality, and the woe is me. And therefore, that gives an awful lot of people this sort of misconception that they're allowed then get everything that they want. And then they build up this sort of the expectation level to a dizzying height where the other person would have to be superhuman, because they themselves feel like, well, I've done this and I've done that, and sure, my God, I'm obviously a great person, and I'm really humble, and I'm really humble. They often say the opposite of what they're actually coming out with. They often say things like, you know, I'm only being honest, and then they'll come out with something horrendous about someone else, and they'll say, well, if I'm not going to be honest with you, I don't feel I'll fully convey my personal opinion on things. But it's not okay to say, you know, I'm just being honest, and then be racist, or then be whatever. Do you know what I mean? So it's the no filter. It's the lack of a filter and the lack of self-awareness a lot of the time that screams that this person is single, because they literally are not giving anyone a chance. Whereas when people ring up and they say, do you know what, I haven't been in the right place at the right time. I want someone who's just down to earth, who's grounded, who's genuine. I know I'm 50, I know I have a few wrinkles, and I'm happy being the age I am. I'm happy and content with where I'm at in life, and I'd just like someone else to share my, you know, my days with, my experiences with, especially in these kind of COVID times. But, you know, guys will do it all the time as well. I don't want to seem like it's about women. Just men will ring up and they'll say, I'm 48 now, and, you know, I'm getting on, so it's time I had kids. And so we say, fine. You've come to this conclusion, that's fine, at 48, you've rang intro for the first time, no problem. So we can match you reasonably with someone who's also looking for kids, and they'd be from your own age, maybe down around 6 or 7 years. And he said, no, I'm not meeting someone who's 40, 41, 42. I'm 48, but I want kids. But she can't be having kids at that age. And he becomes obstetricians overnight after sitting down with Paddy Joe, you know, for a pint of Guinness, and Paddy Joe said, women can't have kids over 40. And so he has the audacity to say that I only want to meet 30 to 35-year-olds. And we say to him, sorry now, you're 48, and you know you're 48, and you have to behave as a 48-year-old man does, but you decided to wait until you were 48 to call us. So you can't have it every way. You can't just decide, because I'm a guy and I can have kids whenever I want, that I'm going to choose that she has to be 30 to 35. Because 30 to 35-year-old men are more than happy to meet 30 to 35-year-old women.
And, so you give it to them straight, Fergal, and you lay it on the line to them. And how do they take it when you give them the home truths?
Some will go off in a huff, but they always come back. And they'll come back sometimes a year or two later. But the problem is then he's 50 and he still wants the kids and he still wants the whatever. But he comes around and realises, okay, no, I'm not going to get what I want. Because he realises if he goes on to Tinder or Bumble or POF, which he won't do because he's paranoid about everyone knowing his business. So he won't go online either. And now he can't go to bars to meet people because he can't talk to anybody in a bar now. Well, maybe he will after this weekend. We'll see. The thing is, he wants his cake and eat it too. But a lot of the time, he might be living at home with his parents still because he's waiting to inherit the land, because he's looking after mammy and daddy who are in their 80s. And so he has to be attractive to these women. And women don't want to meet a guy who is living at home with the parents in his late 40s, early 50s.
Okay. I'm going to take a break, but I want to keep on this topic, Fergal, because it's very interesting.
Absolutely.
You know, why are people single, and the reason why you and some of your colleagues can get a vibe from them and might be able to point them in the right direction. Let us know if anyone else wants to get in on this, or indeed ask Fergal a question. You know what to do, 083 300 3300. 17 minutes past 2, you're listening to Talk About on Radio Kerry, and we'll have more dating advice after these.
Talk About on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality, locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.
Now, we're talking about why people are still single. And by the way, just to clarify, and I'm sure Fergal will agree with me, an awful lot of people who are single by choice and are quite happily single. But we're specifically talking about people who are single and can't figure out and want to meet someone and can't figure out why it hasn't happened and go to agencies like Intro Matchmaking, where Fergal is. Fergal, I'm wondering, I know an awful lot of people that you spoke about are, you know, that you say they're kind of conceited and they have an overinflated view of their own worth. But I bet you come across the opposite too, because I know that women tend to beat themselves up over how they look and their weight and stuff like that. And sometimes when they don't have a partner or whatever, they're saying, well, if I lost 2 stone or I went blonde or whatever, I might meet a guy. But is it ever really about appearance?
It at times it is. I mean, we always say that people just need to be content and happy with themselves before they would enter into a relationship. But, you know, anytime someone might say, look, you know, I want to join, but I'm going to do it when I lose a stone or two or the COVID stone. When that stone is lost, then people will sometimes then look at the teeth and think they need to be whiter or straighter. So there's it's like having a baby. There's never a perfect time, really. There's always someone for everyone. It's far easier to work with somebody who comes in humble and says, you know what, I'm a little bit overweight, or I'm a little bit whatever, or I could have made more of an effort in the gym last year. I would welcome them like you would not believe. I'd take 100 of those people and we would work in a nice caring way with those people and build up confidence levels and get them out on dating, on dates. I would far rather those than someone who rings up and says, I gave up my modeling career and I shouldn't have bothered, but the agency want me back.
Yeah.
I'd far rather that. You know, you need to be able to manage expectations. And what we do, we are empathetic, you know, regardless of what you might... I think this conversation seemed quite blunt, talking about your man, you know, needing to be real about the age thing. But you have to be very honest with people in a nice way. But we will base what way we need to react to a person, based on what way they are talking to us. If there is a meek sort of insecurity there and people are feeling self-conscious and they're insecure about themselves or their weight, we are very good at speaking to that person and building that person up and building that confidence and getting them out there and getting them back into the dating scene, because the thought of doing this is far more daunting than the actual experience of it, than the actual process, because every single person is in the same boat. Every single person has to go through the whole rigmarole of discussing the policies and joining up and paying up and signing up. But there's real comfort in the knowledge that everyone else is on the same, you know, wavelength, and they're all doing the same thing. So there's a motivation and a determination there that you don't get online, because you don't know what your man is saying online or what your woman is saying online is even true. So I suppose to answer your question, yes, people will call and people will be insecure slightly and people will be conscious of themselves and think that they don't have enough to offer. But they're usually people that we're having an amazing conversation with, who are well able to talk, who are well able to carry themselves. They're usually quite successful in their own right. So it's just that just takes a tiny tweak. That just takes a little bit of encouragement. And it's far easier to work with someone who's slightly insecure than it is to work with someone with an overinflated ego.
Exactly. A couple of questions for you, Fergal. A listener says they want to know, do you work with gay people? Do you match gay people, or is it just men?
Oh, of course. Of course. Absolutely. Anybody who's looking for a long-term committed relationships, gay, straight, absolutely, all ages, all religions, and some people will. That actually brings me on to something else. People, I had a call there from someone who wanted their sister to join, her brother to join, and they said, now, she only wants to meet a Muslim person, and that's fine. I said, okay, no problem, but this person needs to realize that, you know, in Ireland, you know, I think 85 to 90% of our clients would be ORC, maybe lapsed, but still technically ORC. So all we can provide are the facts. We can only say that, yeah, well, if you're only looking for someone who's Muslim and actually a practicing Muslim, you need to know that this is down to numbers as well as everything else. We have to tick as many boxes as possible in terms of traits, qualities, characteristics, core values, family values. Age has to be reasonable enough in sync. But if a person rings up and says, I'm Muslim and I want only Muslims, that's getting harder and harder. So people need to not be too specific in terms of what they're looking for, is my overall point, in terms of what they might be calling about. When people get fixated on someone that they see on a Hollywood movie, a lot of people really do this, and they think, I really love the idea of going out with someone who's like that. I really would. I'd love that now. If you just give me someone like who looks a little bit like George, but goes on a bit like Brad, and who does this and does that, and like, well, I don't know now if that's really, you know, there's no pick and mix. It's not a shop window, and that's why people need to think, okay, am I really looking at the core values and the traits and the qualities here, or am I just fixated on something that I think would be really cool to be with? So, I mean, when the people ring up and they say things like, you know, I want a caring, considerate, kind, warm person who's a family-orientated person who's a bit of a gent who has chivalrous sort of nature, or I'm just looking for someone who's down-to-earth and caring in terms of a woman who wants to be, who's motherly and who's caring and kind and considerate, they're the people who walk away with success. So it's not having a specific type is massively important. And we have become very guilty of, you know, talking about people as if they're commodities. And that's where people have changed over the last 2 years. COVID has been great for that, to get rid of that. And people are now more focused on, you know, company and experiences and looking forward to going down to Killarney for the weekend, as opposed to what it was before, where the expectations were just off the wall altogether. Now it's back to basics, but it's an awful lot more low-key, which it was no harm, because we were kind of losing the run of ourselves, to be honest with you.
This is true. A listener says, this is a question, I think I know what this guy is saying, but maybe as a man, Fergal, you might know more than I do. He says, I'm friends with this girl and I want to give her something on Valentine's Day that is not suggestive but is friendly. I don't want to frighten her off, if you know what I mean.
It's not suggestive, but it is friendly. So he just wants to be friends, but he still wants to give her something.
That's not a good idea, because, I mean, if you give a girl something on Valentine's Day, it suggests you fancy her, I would argue.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely likes her.
I think he does. I think he's in denial.
Yeah, I think you like her, dude.
get out of your own way, dude.
Ask her out. Just be honest. Women, and that's one major thing. Women will always complain about the fact that guys have not been fully honest, and they haven't just said it. They're like, "Would you just talk? Would you just open up? Would you just be honest?" You know, because guys will go on dates in the past and they'll sit there and they'll let the women ask all the questions. The women will be like dragging the whole thing out, and just guys, you kind of want to shake, just to wake up and have a bit of energy and drive. And if you feel a certain way, say it. And if she mentions, oh, I love that restaurant down there in Sneem or whatever, I'd love to go there. And if he doesn't say, I'm going to bring you there next week, she's like, Jesus, I gave him so many options and he just didn't bother getting
any
of them.
So the
guys need to be on the ball a bit. And your man, if he likes her, say that he likes her. I'm sure she knows, for God's sake, at this stage, if they're friends for a while. So she will really appreciate the honesty and she'll think it's really confident. And women love confident men, and women love guys who can be decisive and who are out there and who will just say, look, you know, it's been a while. We've known each other for a good while. I think I feel a certain way. If you don't feel a certain way about me, well, that's okay. But at least I'll know that I said it, and then move on.
This is it. Another listener was in touch and was wondering if you saw First Dates Ireland last night, Fergal.
There was a
guy on it last night, and I better be careful what I say, but let's just say he broke a part of his body in an accident, not on live and television. But let's just say he broke a part of his body that you wouldn't expect him to be talking about.
I need more explanation on that, Deirdre, please. Be clear.
And anyway, you know what I'm talking about. He broke it. It's fine again, apparently. But he brought this up 5 minutes into the conversation on a first date. I thought that was very strange.
Yeah, but you know, okay, if you're looking for a lifelong partner and you're doing this, if you're serious about dating and you're looking for something substantial and real, you will not bring that up. If you're doing it for a little bit of profile and to get talked about on media, which worked. Well then you'll have your plan. A lot of the time, I'm not talking about first dates, but a lot of these programs over in the States and different things like that, a lot of the time it's personalities. It's people who are YouTube stars who want bigger followers, and they'll say whatever that's controversial that will get, you know, a lot of clickbait. So no, not a great thing to talk about. If he was young and he's having the crack and he's only going there just to be on TV for a few minutes, then yeah, that's what it was. But I wouldn't put it down to, you know, this person wants a lifelong, you know, relationship, and he was very serious about that, to be honest with you, from what I'm hearing there.
Exactly. Now, we have a listener on, and he says he says that he doesn't think you quite understand it or that you get it. He is from Kerry, but he's teaching in another part of the country, and I don't want to give away too much information in case it identifies him. But he says, the world, Fergal needs to understand that the world is not black and white. I might be teaching elsewhere, but I come home to Kerry every weekend because I don't want to be up in Mayo. I want to meet a woman. So is it my fault I'm completely single? Fergal needs to show more empathy. Now, I gather that maybe this refers back to you saying that people only want to find somebody within a 10-mile radius. Maybe this guy in Kerry is only looking for a woman from Kerry because he comes home every weekend from the other end of the country.
Well, we could all say that, couldn't we? We could all say, I work shift work, so I want to meet people who work shift work. This is what people say to me on the phone every single day of the week. Teachers say this to me all the time as well. And it's the opposite of what this guy is saying. People often say, I've got a permanent role as a teacher in Ballina. So if I meet someone and they live, for instance, in Limerick, how am I going to be convinced that I'm going to get a full-time permanent role in Limerick? But the problem is they're putting the cart before the horse. They're entering into a relationship before they've even met the person. It's not anyone's fault, that he works in Mayo and lives in Kerry. It's his prerogative to do that. But what we're saying is it's not tough love. It's not, it's not us being unfair. It's us saying statistically there are twice as many women living in urban areas than men. There are more men living in rural parts of Ireland. If someone is moving from one county to another, you know, and they're back and forth the whole time, that's their life. They choose for it to be that way. So if I've never had that kind of an argument. It's not about empathy. It's about facts. It's about stats. It's about CSO figures. So
isn't it also about people needing to be, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, that people need to be more flexible and less rigid not only in their expectations, but in how they're prepared to go out of their way to meet somebody. I mean, we'd all love to meet someone from down the road because it would be convenient, but I suppose you really do have to be able to compromise.
Of course, and like they say to me all the time on the phone, they ring me and they say, what if I live in Dublin and you end up matching me with someone who I end up falling in love with and they live in Galway? And they're on the phone to me almost crying about the fact that might happen. And I'm thinking, you're just after calling the biggest matchmaking agency in the country saying you want our help to find you a future life partner, and now you're complaining about the fact that you might have fallen in love with somebody who lives across the tiny little island that we live on. So people need to be willing to make effort, and that's the point. People often, they call a dating agency and they assume that everything's going to fall on their lap, because we should assume that, okay, because your man is a teacher in Mayo, oh, but no, we can't match him with anyone really amazing living outside of Kerry, because he only wants to meet women living in Kerry, because that's convenient for him, because he's back on the farm, he's probably looking after the farm for the elderly father. I hear this all day, every day. That doesn't matter. Like, women can say it all the time. They're lone parents and they have five under 10. But we don't say, oh, because you've got five kids under 10, Mary, you shouldn't have to do anything. You should get everything on your own doorstep. If you're a 90-year-old and you ring us, as they have, you're still expected to be willing to travel up to 90 minutes to meet at the halfway point. Not because we're cruel, making the poor 90-year-old travel. It's because we're saying, down to numbers, if you want the best chance of success, you need to be willing and prepared to put the effort in. Mm. So this is the victim mentality that I was talking about at the very beginning of it. Fergal's not empathetic about the fact that I have to go from Mayo to Kerry. That's nonsense.
Another person, however, says, I'm laughing my head off here at some of the remarks people have made about others. It must be some job for Fergal trying to match up some of those individuals. And he said, this person says, I love your slot, Fergal. So there you go.
Thank you kindly.
That counterbalance the critical comment.
Well, I'm going to be crying there all weekend now after that comment.
I'd say you will. Listen, before we let you go for this month, and you're actually back with us next Friday. We've two dating slots in the month of January, because we didn't have one in December. So you're back with us next Friday. And Fergal, before we let you go, just remind us how we can contact Intro.
Yeah, they can email either through the website intro.ie or on the phone line is 016-777-000, and just leave a message and we'll call you right back. It's shockingly busy at the moment. There's a waiting list on the weekend appointments for months and months and months, but weekdays are available. So everyone's with the whole New Year resolutions, everyone's in the same boat. So it's a good time to do it. The database has never been more full of people, so it's a good time.
Great stuff. Fergal, we'll talk to you next week, and thanks a million for that.
Take care.
All the best. That's Fergal Harrington there from Intro Matchmaking.